All right.
This is the Queen's Club coaching call. Be here for an hour and then we will be talking all things. So if you are in the Queen's Club, it means that you've been with No BS, you have lost 25 pounds, and you would like to get coaching today or any kind of help or ask questions in the Q&A on anything related to your Queen's Club journey, anything you need help with, whether you are maybe you're thinking about starting an exercise program, maybe you're wanting to figure out some level ups, maybe you're a little stuck on something. Whatever it is, you can get coaching on it today. I'm going to bring up Coach Lizzie. And let's see. There we go. All right. I need somebody to raise their hand. Queens, if you want to get coached, you better get it up. All right, Tracy. Thank you. We just had a really good coaching call the last two. It was actually 2.5 hours. So if you have not listened, I would listen to that. There's a lot of good stuff in there. All right, Tracy, let's get you unmuted and get your video started. We'll be rocking and rolling today. And don't forget, if you want coaching, you got to raise your hand. All right. I'm not telepathic. All right. Oh, Anne is from Spain. All right, let's get you unmuted. Can you unmute yourself, Tracy? I'm going to pause the recording. All right, and the recording has started back. All right, what you want coaching on?
Well, I've been doing pretty good with losing down 43 pounds,
Good for you.
and I'm very excited about that because I hadn't lost weight in years.
All right.
But I want to do exercise, and I'd like some help getting over my teenage brain rebelling against exercise.
Why are you rebelling against exercise? Why are you rebelling against one of the most wonderful gifts in the entire world? I love exercise.
Okay, so my mother's a PE teacher
Okay.
and has been thin and fit all of her life, and I guess my rebellion started when she dragged me by the ponytail to swim team practice in high school.
Okay.
And because I was heavy-ish, and because God, I know I would love to weigh that now, but I was heavy for the
Okay.
time. And so I don't enjoy exercise. The only exercise I've ever enjoyed is swimming. And so this summer we got our pool fixed finally after 10 years of it being a frog pond. And I was swimming a lot
Okay.
once it got fixed at the beginning of August. And now it's too chilly. I'm in North Carolina. And so I want to start walking. I
Okay. Well,
used to
why are we
walk,
not just
but
going to
I
start
don't
walking?
enjoy it. I
Why do
don't
you not
know.
like it?
It's not that I don't like it, but it hurts my hips.
Okay. Well, that would be one
And
reason why you wouldn't enjoy it if it hurts your hips.
yeah.
Is it one of those things that it hurts your hips in a way that a doctor would say you shouldn't do, or would they say you should probably do it
No,
so
say
eventually
keep
your hips
walking
won't?
and make it
Okay.
feel better.
Okay. So we know that we're our hips are going to hurt and that
Yeah,
that's not
my
going to be
doctor said
enjoyable until it
it's
gets better.
bursitis, so yeah.
Okay. So we won't enjoy it until it gets better. So what's
Right,
the
but it
problem?
won't get better unless I do it.
Right. Which is everything. It's just like me. I keep wanting to build shoulders, but I can't just sit back and wish for them. I got to go lift shoulders and they
Yeah.
suck and they will be sore for days.
Right.
But why are we
So
not doing
swimming,
it?
I was sore as all get out every time I swam, but I love it, and I'd swim for an hour just doing laps.
Right. I understand that you loved it. What were your thoughts about it? Why did you love it? Like, what were your thoughts when you were doing it, even though it hurt?
Well, swimming doesn't hurt. That's
Oh,
what
I
I
thought you
do
said
for
that you would
laps.
hurt anyway. Do what?
No, well, I was sore, but it doesn't. Being sore is different. I can deal with being sore,
Okay. Why can't
hurting
you
while
deal with
I'm
the
doing it.
hurt?
With the walking and the
Yeah.
hips.
Especially since you have a doctor telling you that that will get better if you keep walking.
Because my teenage brain keeps telling me that
What is
I'm
your
having a
teen?
problem with it, and I
Right,
need to
but
whip her into shape.
you don't have to whip her into shape. You just need to tell her, hey, this is wrong. This is not right.
Okay.
Is it right
It's
to,
right because it's good for me.
okay, that's one of the things that we have to tell the teenage brain when it kicks up. This is good for me. What else do we need to tell the teenage brain when it kicks up?
To be quiet, you're not making any sense.
Do you want to say that? Does that help you, or does that kind of,
No, that didn't
well, I
help.
mean, some people it does. Like
That's just me
sometimes I
being
can tell my
sarcastic.
brain, shut the fuck up, that's not right. And then sometimes I'm like, I have to be compassionate. I'm the only person who really knows whether or not that kind of talk is helpful or not. And that's why I'm asking
Right.
you.
Criticizing myself doesn't usually help.
Okay, so we don't want to say that. What do we need to tell ourselves to get ourselves to walking, even though we know it's going to hurt, that will get us going? Because we know you want to do it. You're on a roll with your weight loss. And I'm going to surprise you and say this has nothing to do with your mother being a PE teacher or your youth.
That's just my story.
Yes. The more you keep saying it's because of my mother and what happened when I was a kid, that adds a layer of resistance to doing it now. But the more you
Right.
tell yourself, I am a grown woman, this is very different. My mother's not making me work out. I am the one who wants to go walking. I am on a roll. This is going to help my hips. I just don't want to do it right now. But I'm going anyway. The more you tell that story, the more you start creating separation between the childhood and now.
Okay. So I changed my story about why I'm not walking.
Or you change your story about why you are going to walk.
Right.
It's real
Trying
easy.
here.
I know it's real easy. Like, let me tell y'all what the easiest thing in the world to do is. The easiest thing in the world to do is to complain and blame our past.
Right.
Because guess what? When you're saying, well, Corinne, now my mother was a PE teacher and she drug my sorry ass and blah, 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 then your brain is like, yeah, we should just sit on the couch. And you know what? Our hips won't even hurt when we do it. Amazing. And I bet you'll find something amazing on TV to even pass the time. The hard part is to say, well, what's really happening is I just don't want to go because I know my hips are going to hurt. But I also know my hips are never going to get better unless I go. So I'm just
Okay.
going to go and let's just see what happens. Like, I love exercise. Like, honestly, I do love it. But 9.5 out of 10 times, I dread going. I have 1,000 other things I'd rather be doing. I have 1,000,001 really good excuses to not go to the gym. I am always cramming it in. And I'm like, and yeah, that's what we do. Because I also am so not going to be one of the women in my family who can't get around past 60. Every woman in my family, about the time they hit 60 years old, were so limited in their mobility.
I'm 61.
Yeah, like my grandmother probably still would have been alive had it not been for bad knees. And getting to where she didn't walk anymore because she didn't want to fuck around with those achy ass knees that they kept telling
Right.
her she should keep walking so that the knees would not, shoot out. My grandmother now, who's alive, she's 84, humpback, stuck in her house, on a walker, can't go places. My mother, bum from back, basically the shoulders down, except for what she's replaced. I refuse to be that way. I've just seen too, like, I always tell myself, I don't care how bad you don't want to go, but this immobility ends with you. You will be the last woman in this family like this.
I've watched my grandmothers and my mother, and all of them have been fit and exercised. But I mean, my grandmothers didn't exercise, but they walked and they did the garden and all that up into their 90s.
Yeah.
And neither one of them were ever overweight. And my mother's never been overweight. And she's always been fit. And she's had three hip replacements and a knee replacement. And she did her exercises and got right back up. And she uses a cane now. She's 89 because she has some back issues from other things.
Yeah.
But she gets around great. So I want to be like that.
That's what you need to tell yourself when you don't want to go walking. Rather than like, well, it's really hard because when I was a kid, my mom used to drag me to the thing. You need to be saying like, no, I will tell you, I want to be like my mom. I'm at 89. I'd like to be getting around. That's what I really want. I want life. And going for walks is going to give me that. And I just don't want to right now, but that's okay. There's so many things that we do in life that we don't want to do. And it's because somewhere deep down we know it's important. And you've just got to keep making it important to you. So then those moments when you don't want to do it, that you can convince yourself to do it anyway. Because I think a lot of you are wanting to just want to do it all the time. It's like that, like
Well, I know
wanting to
motivation
do hard
follows getting
things
up and
is.
doing something.
Say what?
Motivation follows getting up and doing something, getting started.
Yeah, well, this is so there's a couple things. Number one is most of you are never going to live a life where you just want to go do hard things. It is against the DNA of our brains to want to sign up to go do something hard. That is one of the reasons why, like, yesterday is a good example. I had put my leg day off all week long, and it was Saturday. And I had time to do it first thing in the morning. I had from 8 to 8:50 to get it done. And I was sitting in the parking lot at the gym waiting for them to open the doors because I knew I only had, yesterday was my photo shoot day. So I knew I only had a certain amount of time. And I'd kicked the can down the road so much. And I remember telling Jane, I'm back as usual. Zoom likes to do an update almost every fucking Sunday around this time.
I thought it
God,
was me because my battery
no,
is back
it's like this
15%.
happens. We've talked to Zoom about it. It happens routinely where they just do an update and here we are. So, but what I was going to
Gonna
say,
plug this in anyway.
oh, you're fine.
Sorry
No,
about
it
the
was me.
walking
I
around.
actually got kicked out and it just reboots itself and I come right back. This has been a long ongoing problem. We've been arguing with Zoom about this, by the way. But anyway, what I was going to say is we want to do it. And so we kind of
Yeah.
get like in this like extra frustration of like, I'm not doing it because I don't want to. And it's like, look, anything that's going to be hard, especially if your hips are going to hurt for a while and stuff like that, expecting to want to do it is what's making it really hard on you. I always expect to not want to do it. And then I
Okay.
make a plan for I'm going to show up anyway. How am I going to do that? And most of the time, it's like, all right, sleep in your clothes, put it on your calendar. Call your best friend before you go so that you're like, if I say it out loud, I'm going to do it. I know me. If I say it out loud, I'll do it. If I don't say it out loud, I'm not letting anybody down but me. Well, I'm not going to scold myself for not doing it. Like, I'm just not.
Right.
So you want to stop wishing to want it and start making plans for the version of you who doesn't want to. And then have compassion for her rather than yelling at yourself about, like, you should want to do this, or, it's like, no, like, there's nothing wrong with not wanting to do it. What's wrong is when we don't do it simply because we didn't want to, and we didn't think about, all right, my immediate self doesn't want to, but what is, like, my long-term self wants to do it for all of these reasons, and I need to be reminding myself of this a lot, all the time. Here's all the reasons why I want to do these things. So that in those moments when I don't want to, I can just go like, fuck, but I'm going anyway. Let's just
Right.
go. And we just kind of do, like, literally, I wish I had somebody who could just traipse around after me with a camera all the time so that y'all could see how often I'm dragging my sorry ass through lots of things. It is not like I
Always
sit
do
down
the
and be like,
things
I
that I
can't.
promise other people I'll do,
Then
and
find somebody
then
that
I
you can
don't show up for
promise to.
myself.
Then find someone to make an agreement with. Do you have an accountability group?
I've tried. I
Get
asked
another one.
again.
Why haven't you just gotten another one?
I asked again on Friday.
Good. All right. When you get this one, and one of the things you may want to tell when you are like getting an accountability group, like email Dina and say, I am looking for some women who want to start walking. Like, that's who I want in my accountability group. I would like to have a couple of women or something, and we're all either going to start walking or we need at least one person who walks. Because I want to be in a group that's really focused on, we're going to be walkers. And I want somebody that I can say, I walk today too. I'm going to walk. Hold me accountable for walking. Like, you can ask for those things.
Okay.
And then use that. Because I will tell you, that is my secret tip for getting most of the shit that I get done in life. It is not because Corinne is so good at showing up for Corinne. There are certain things I plan that I'm like, I don't need outside accountability. I'm really good at getting these things done. Like my work, I'm pretty good at getting it done. I rarely have to promise my work to anyone. Now, when I'm working on something really hard in the business and I notice I'm dicking around and not getting it done fast enough or whatever, I usually will go to one of my team members and say, hey, you know that project we're working on? I'm going to have it to you by this day. I just make up a deadline for myself. And I just verbally commit to them. By this day, you'll have it. And then I know I'm going to step on the gas and I'm going to kill myself to get it done at that point. I'm not going to sit there and just like, ooh, let me just, I'm going to go shopping today instead. I'm the boss. I can do that. Because every now and then I'll just be like, I'll grab Logan and say, like, hey, you want to go to the mall? And I'll call it spending time with my son, AKA blowing off work that I don't want to do. But spending time with my son always sounds really motherly and lovely. But I do
Right.
the same thing with my exercise. Almost all the time, I tell Jane, hey, this is when I'm going. I'll text you when I'm done because I don't want to go and I don't want to do it. But if I tell her, the last thing I want to do is go to her with my excuses as to why I didn't do it. I don't like that.
Yeah.
So for some of us, if external accountability is better, let's use it. But for you, I think you
Well,
just
yeah,
go ahead.
I work on prom because of what I do for a living. I work on promise dates for customers. So, I've gotten to figure out how to promise somebody things that I'm going to do for myself.
Yeah. And also promise you, just like say, all right, in the next 7 days, I'm going to get 3 walks in. We're going to start with that. 3 walks in 7 days. And here's the days I'm going to do it. But I know that by next Sunday, 3 have to get done.
I mean, I
And I'm
know
not.
I can do self-motivated things
Okay.
because I've worked for myself for 30 years. So I have to be self-motivated to do that.
Yeah. Now, like, what do you think makes you self-motivated? What do you tell yourself about your work?
I don't want to disappoint the person getting it to them late.
Okay. Are you willing to stop disappointing you?
I should. Yeah. I
But
should
I mean,
be.
we all should, but like,
I
are
know.
you willing? That's a very different question.
I'm working on that. I mean, that is something that I've wrestled with the past couple of years.
But I want you to really think about my question. Are you willing to make yourself so important that you won't disappoint yourself with these walks? And let's just say we're going to start with 3 a week for the next month.
I'm willing to try.
Okay, let's start with I'm willing to try. So tell me why you're willing to disappoint yourself.
I've never looked at it that way. I've always looked at it as just letting myself down.
Well, let's
And it
answer
doesn't
it.
matter because it was just for me.
Why are you not important?
I've never been important.
That's not 100% true, or you wouldn't be self-motivated at work.
I guess I'm a people pleaser. I know I'm a people pleaser,
So you're
and
really good at people.
that usually leaves me out.
So how can we take the strength of people pleasing and apply it to walking for you to please you?
I don't know yet.
Well, I'm not letting you off the call until you answer. I'll
I
give you all
know.
the time you need.
Answer it a different, ask it a different way. Maybe I don't understand.
So you're a good people pleaser. What does that mean? You can do what?
And I put other people's priorities in front of mine, and it makes them happy.
So that is not the definition of people pleaser.
Okay.
Think a lot of y'all think like what you do is the definition. Let me tell you the de what a real people pleaser is. If you're going to be a true people pleaser, someone who wants to see someone else have pleasure, and you love giving other people pleasure.
I love people with food. That's probably a problem too.
It's not a problem. I love people with food too. I used to food prep for my entire family for years and years and years. I thought it was the most motherly thing I ever did. I take Logan out to eat. That's one of the things he and I love to do. We go out to eat. It's one of the most connecting things that we do. But
I've
I
made
guess
hundreds
here's,
and hundreds of pound cakes.
yeah, because people love it. This is the one thing I just want you to notice, Lee. I think your biggest problem is you have a shitty self-opinion. Like, even when I'm trying to get you to see that you have a strength, you're like, well, that's wrong too. Well, let me just tell you all the bad things about that strength. And I'm just trying to draw from you, like, what is good about you? And you're just like, well, here's something that's good, but let me just tell you how shitty it is.
Yeah,
If you have,
I've
and I will
always
tell,
struggled with self-esteem.
well, and I think that, have you done the self-love course recently?
I've looked at some of the videos, but I did just start that not too long ago because I signed up for virtual camp and I thought that might be a good intro.
Okay, I want you to actually do the self-love course, not just listen. I want you to do the
Okay.
work because I will tell all of you, when you, anything that we don't care about, we will not take care of it. Like, you care about what other people think, you care about how other people feel. So what do? You care for them. You don't care about what you think, You don't care about you. You have a low regard. So what happens? You don't take care of you. You're just like, it's, well, I'll just let me down. Letting me down
Right.
is not that bad.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So we have to learn how to like actually love ourselves. Because the only way that you're ever going to like have the things you want in life and have like the impact you want on the world or have the things you want, you have to actually start having a higher regard for you. You have to be able to say, like, I love you like I love everybody else. I want you happy with me just as much as I want everyone else happy with me. Like, I'm so good at trying to make other people happy with me. So now I got to figure, it's like, because I don't want to let them down. So now what I got to do is I got to start telling myself, I think I'm tired of letting myself down. I think I'm ready to not let myself down anymore. That's why I asked you in the beginning, is like, are you willing to stop letting yourself down? Like, I would answer that every single day with 100% yes. I'm very willing to stop letting myself down because if I'm 100% sold on the idea of like, I'm very willing to stop letting myself down, that means now I can really solve my problems because now I've got to figure out in the moments I don't want to, in the moments my hip hurts, in the moments I want to put somebody else's needs above mine, I've got to figure out how do I take care of me before I do that. I can't be at the expense of everybody else anymore, but I still want to care for them. So now I've got to, like, I have to be on the list too. So now we have a problem we can solve. But when we have no regard for ourselves and we're just kind of like, oh, it's okay if I let myself down. I'll try, whatever. Everybody else is more important. When that's our attitude about ourselves, just notice how it's really easy to not follow through. But when you really love yourself and you're just like, I do not want to let you down anymore. So even in the, even if I don't go on the walk, I'm going to be like, what was wrong today? What can I do to help you so that the next time it's time to go for a walk, we will go, no matter how bad you don't want to go, no matter who needs something from you, that you'll still figure out how to keep you on the list. Then we're solving our own problems and we're doing it because we really want the best for us. Because the way it doesn't work is to just try to make yourself do things that you're like, well, I know this is good for me. So I'm going to make myself do it while I'm telling myself it won't matter. You're letting somebody else down. Why bother? Like, whatever comes up, that comes from lack of love for self. Okay.
Okay.
Three walks by next Sunday.
Three
You're going to
walks by
people
next
please
Sunday.
me this week.
Okay.
And do you post in the Facebook group? You
Yes.
better post it in the Facebook group and you better tag me this week.
Okay.
I want to see your smiling face every time you go for a walk and be like, fuck me, I shouldn't have gotten coached. That damn Corinne, now I got to people please her. But then when you go, I want you to tell yourself, I'm doing it because I said I would to Corinne, but I'm also doing it because I'm learning how to do it because I said I would, period. It's more important for me to feel pride that I did this than it is for Corinne to say, like, well, check, she did good coaching this week. Okay. All right. And do self-love. Do self-love. You can wait till after this camp if you want to. It's up to you how fast you want to go, how much time you have, but either you can do it before camp, but I will suggest to all of you that when you're going to do courses like self-love, relation, the big ones, the ones where we're actually trying to solve a big problem in our life, don't just listen to the videos. Listening to the videos is like saying, like, I watched the commercials during the Super Bowl. Like, you're missing the main show. The
Right.
real insights, the real, like, fundamental change in those types of courses really does come from doing the guide that comes with it and taking that work seriously. And there's no wrong way to do that work. There's no like This is the right way to complete things. It's just you wouldn't believe how much more you get out of it when you actually take the time to do some of it and take it just one day at a time. Don't feel like you got to do it all overnight. I don't care if it takes a few weeks, but take your time with it and really get to know yourself, okay?
I'm working on a lot of things.
Yeah, you are. Well, you're doing, yeah, obviously you're doing something right. And obviously you have some self-regard or you wouldn't be down 43 pounds.
Right.
That does not come from anything other than there's a part of you who is fighting for you, who says, I love you enough to help you out. So that person's in there. We just kind of gotta like rub off all this varnish that's keeping you from shining like you should be. Okay. Thank you, Lee.
All right. Thank you.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.
Jen?
Hello.
Hey, how are
Oh, I'm excited to be here.
you? My eye is just itching. Sorry. Like all
Oh,
of a sudden,
dear.
it was just like, I just wanted to claw at my eye. So, what are you going to coach?
So, I am noticing that I am struggling with and stopping it enough, and often, like when I try some of the things of like slowing down eating, what I'm noticing coming up is this panic at meal times, especially dinner.
Okay.
And I've
You want
done
to just work on
journaling.
dinner?
I think I'd love to just work on dinner. That seems to be the most obvious one. I've journaled on it. I definitely know, there was a lot of where some of it's coming from, scrutiny when I was a child, being made fun of, being told I'm a picky eater. Everyone ate really fast at dinner. I feel like it's coming from a place of like, I'm not gonna have enough, I ha and then this resistance of I should stop, I should slow down, I should, yeah, I think it's like all those negative thoughts in my head. So
So when you
I'd
slow
love,
down, the negative thoughts pop up.
yes,
Okay.
like
So that's
this,
exactly the way it should happen, number one.
right,
Okay.
yeah.
All right. So
Thank
we're
you.
glad that that's happening.
Yes, I'm
Okay.
glad. I even just today wrote, it's really great that I'm noticing this.
Okay.
I've been with you for many, many years, and the tools are like just such a great lifeline for me, so I'm so grateful. So I just realized like I should get some coaching on this to make this easier on myself. Like, what are some things I can help myself with? Because like I'll journal about why it's happening, but I can't, it's still not helping me actually have some effect on myself at dinner where I can feel like just pleasure in eating
Okay, so
dinner.
for now, in this stage where we're trying to get to know it, you're not going to have a lot of pleasure in the eating because you are going to be bombarded by all the thoughts. So we need to like put the pleasure like on a shelf for just a minute. Because that would be like the wrong goal. Like the goal really right now is to feel panicked and then decide what you want to do when you're feeling panicked. So let's just take, like, what is one of the thoughts that causes the panic? Like, you said a couple. There's not going to be enough was one of them. What was one of the other ones?
Probably this should be easier.
Okay, so
And
that's an easy one to
yeah.
just fix right now. I just told
All
you
right.
this is not
Yeah.
supposed to be easy. Like, this is supposed to. Like what will make it easy is to scarf your food down and not hear your thoughts.
Yes.
But then you
Yes,
don't
and
have easy
escape
weight
them.
loss.
Exactly.
So this part is supposed to feel really wild. Like it's supposed to be like, oh
Wild.
shit. Yeah, like wild, like, oh my God, I'm panicking. Like, oh shit. Like I'm not even enjoying my meal because now I'm just like, you better eat faster. Like, why do you, like, that one's a curious one to me. So I think we can kind of throw away this should feel different Because it's almost like one of those things. It's like if I gave you a let's pretend that I dumped a 1,000-piece puzzle piece on a table. And I said, I need you to get this done. And you can take your time. I'll give you like an hour, but I'm not going to give you the picture. And if you were doing it and you were like struggling and you couldn't figure out, like, I can't figure out what this is because I can't see the, like, you were like doing it. That would be like the whole time you saying, this should be easier. I don't understand why it's so hard.
Right. I literally have a 500-piece puzzle that I started the other day on my
Yes. So,
table.
like, if I didn't allow you to look at the cover or anything, and you were just gonna have to figure it out on your own, you probably wouldn't be sitting there doing what I call unnecessary suffering, which is complaining that it should be easier. You'd be like, no, it's fucking hard. Like, it's probably supposed to be hard. I don't have the damn picture. So, like, we just kind of want to have the attitude about this part. It's like, when I slow down to really figure out enough, all I'm really doing is allowing myself to think and feel the things that hurried eating and eating fast enough doesn't allow me to feel and allow me to hear. That's why it's hard. So it probably should feel panicky because if I've been eating fast and eating through all this, that means the next step is like, oh, I gotta feel all these thoughts that are coming up. And then I get to start debunking them. So we'll throw that one away. What, so there's not enough. Was there another one that causes panic other than there's not enough?
I think it's I don't know what enough is, and maybe also dealing with the fear of not doing it right. I definitely am working on perfectionism. And
So
I
you definitely
think,
should be feeling panicked. I mean, if you're thinking there's not going to be enough food, I don't know what enough is, and I'm not going to do this right, I would call you an A plus student at feeling the exact thing you're supposed to be feeling.
Okay,
Okay. So that's going well. We got that cleared up.
Yay.
Let me ask you this. Do you really like, I want you to check in with yourself when I say, I don't know what enough is. Is that 100% true?
No.
Why?
I do know, well, I do know what past enough feels like. I do know there's a moment that I feel, and I think because I eat faster, that there is a moment where I just do know, oh, that's enough. Like,
Okay.
but I judge it, I think, it's like, oh, you've gone past enough.
Okay, that's
So,
fine. So that's good to know. That's all I want you to switch your thought to is rather than acting like you don't know what enough is, because it's a lot, like, I just want you to think about how compassionate it is. It's so much easier to say, I don't know what enough is. So I can just feel lost and confused. That feels way better than, fuck you, you just went past enough again. You must be an idiot. You're not doing this right. So now, when our brain wants to say, I don't know what enough is, we're like, oh, that's not really true. Sometimes when I eat past enough, I'm hard on myself. And that's really what's true. So I'm
Oh
going
my
to work on
God.
not being hard on myself.
Okay. That is huge. I just felt like this release when you said, because I'm absolutely hard on, that is exactly what happens.
That's why I think sometimes telling ourselves the truth about what happens often sets us free. Because now we don't have to be confused. Because if we're confused, then we're also in fear that we're never going to be able to lose weight. All in an attempt to not be mean to ourselves when we're trying to figure out how to stop it enough. Because we're always going to blow past it. You're going to blow past enough the rest of your life at times. There's just no getting around it. There will be times where it'll be very intentional. Like, if it's a holiday and I'm like, let's say my mom cooks and I rarely get my mammy's food. And I go down there, I'm like, man, I'm probably going to eat to full at this meal.
Yeah.
And that's like, I'm going to do that eyes wide open. Then there's just going to be times when I'm watching like football and I'm eating and I just get into what I'm doing and I lose track. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I ate past enough. I don't have to beat myself. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just distracted. I
Right.
just like, I don't do that very often. If I'm doing that all the time, then I know, like, oh, okay. Well, if I always do that when I'm watching television, I need a new way to eat. Like, I need to like maybe not eat with the TV on. I need to serve myself less. Like, if I'm not beating myself up, solutions just start popping up everywhere. If
Right.
I'm beating myself up, I'm just repeating the same thing over and over again. Or I start eating faster, so I don't have to.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And resisting those tools, because I know those tools, like put less on my plate, fork down half time, but immediately the resistance comes up that feels this sort of panic, like,
And
and
what
oh,
is that coming?
I think it's coming from I can't do it. I think that's the thought that just popped in my head, like, I can't do it.
Why can't you do those things?
I'm not gonna be able to, like, I'm not capable of doing that, which is
What?
not true.
Right. Because if you can serve yourself a full plate, it already says my hands and my feet work really well. So dishing, like I'm really capable of doing this. I just may not want to. And so now I got to figure out why would I not want to? It has nothing
I
to do,
don't
like
want to.
this is where we just look at thoughts and we're just like, being
Yeah.
capable is not like like if your hands were tied behind your back, I could say like, okay,
Right.
maybe I'll give it to you. You're not capable. I think it's all coming from this idea that there's not going to be enough food. I think that is your probably what we just call like, you know how I used to, you've been around a while. Remember how I used to show the Jenga tower? Okay. So to me, this is your Jenga thought, where it is the one you pull that makes the tower fall. Why is there not going to be enough food?
Think there's three reasons I've sort of journaled about.
Yeah.
One, I do sort of wonder about like cellular memory of like ancestors not having enough, being poor. Like we have plenty. My growing up, we had plenty. I think people ate so fast at the table. It was like a grab what you can, but still there was plenty. But the big one is my dad often wasn't at the table with us for dinner. So my mom, when she'd tell me to clear, she'd like leave that food for your father. And I would want to eat it. Like I have memories of sort of secretly scooping up rice, eating the rice when I was supposed to be packing it up for my dad.
What was
And
your
that's
third
what keeps
one?
coming up. What's that?
I think you said you had three reasons. So we had
That
cellular
was, yeah.
memory,
So cellular
eating the food for
memory,
your dad.
people saving for my dad and everybody eating really fast all the time. So it was like,
Oh.
grab what you can, even though
Okay.
there
So
always was plenty.
I was going to say the cellular memory and the grabbing what you can is probably about the same thing, because a lot of times what happens is you have like generational traumas. And so like if your ancestors were really poor and like did like my great grandmother and that generation, they were from the coal mines of Kentucky and they didn't have much. And so and I know I was poor growing up too, but like I watch Logan sometimes model things from what he's witnessed from me that I witnessed from my grandparents and stuff in behaviors. And so it makes sense how sometimes that stuff gets picked up, because it's like even though your family had plenty, if they were still eating like the family that they were in that didn't have enough, you're still getting that message. Like if we're eating fast, there must be a reason. And so your brain is explaining it and stuff.
I think that's
I think
true.
all of that is like real stuff, but a lot of that is literally just calming yourself down and just saying like, I understand that that everybody ate fast in my family. I'm learning how to break that because I'm also learning how to create safety around there's plenty of food. And like always telling yourself, anytime that you catch yourself in hurried positions, you feel that hurried eating happening, you are thinking there's not going to be enough. It's like, this is my signal to just like slow down and say, I've got you. Jen, we have plenty of food and we're going to
Yeah.
eat enough. And if we need more later, like, I will give you more. You will always get what you need. You do not have to worry about that anymore.
Right.
The big one is probably just some of this childhood stuff. I don't do this often. You tell me if you even want to do it, but we could go back and talk to little Jen and process some of this if it would be helpful. But if you don't want to do it, I can also just tell you some things that you could do. It's up to you what you would rather do.
I'd be open to processing that because I've wondered about that a lot.
Okay. Well, we'll do it. I'm gonna dust off my skills. I actually work with my coach. She and I process a lot, like almost every week. I'm talking to either Little Corinne, talking, I've talked to Bricko Blocks, I have talked to vortexes in me. Like, you never know what's gonna happen. But I also don't proclaim to be an expert at this, but we'll just see how it works. All right. So here's
Thanks.
all you need to do. I just need you to get real comfortable in your chair and just like close your eyes. Sometimes it helps to like just plant your feet on the ground. Just take a few deep breaths. And just know that anything that you need, that you're well taken care of, that we're just gonna talk through some stuff. If you need anything from me, you can always just ask. And I want you to just picture around you like a really like safe image. Like it can be a color, it can be images, just anything that makes you feel like you're really safe, and then describe it to me.
I'm sitting with my grandpa curled up next to him, and he's warm, and I feel very safe in his arms.
Okay, good. So why don't you ask your grandfather if he wouldn't mind just coming on this little journey with you as you go back to the kitchen table and revisit little Jen.
He's saying, of course, absolutely.
Okay. Let's go back to like dinner when you were little. Can you tell me about it, like about how old you were?
I feel like it was sort of 11, 12. Into high school.
And where did y'all eat dinner? Like, where do you see her sitting?
At our kitchen table.
And what's that look like?
It's round and we have glass block, and I'm sitting sort of in the middle. My mom is on my left and my brother's on my right.
All right. And are they eating? What are they doing?
Eating fast. I think we're talking. I know regularly my mom's making fun of how I eat, like that I won't eat the fat on the steak, or I'm picky about the vegetables I'm eating. Other than that, we're just talking.
Can you go and sit next to little Jen?
Yes. I got
And
my hands on her shoulders.
okay, that's cool. What does she think about you being there?
I think she feels like she's finally got some support and an ally.
Wow. Ask her, what does she need from you? When your mom is, everybody's eating fast, and your mom is kind of picking on her about her food.
I think what she needs is two things. One, to just know I'm there. And two, to tell her that that's bullshit. Like, just forget that. It's not about you. It's about her. It's about my mother, not you. It's got nothing to do with you. You're doing fine. There's nothing wrong with you.
So when you say those things to her, what happens?
I think she's surprised, like, really?
Ask her
I
why
feel
she,
in my own.
well,
Sorry,
ask her
what?
why she's surprised.
Because she didn't know that was an option to think that. She just thought it was, it just felt bad to be put down and made fun of. And she didn't question what was being said. She just thought, well, there's a reason that this person, my mother, is saying these things to me. And she didn't know that it had nothing to do with her, that it was all my mother's stuff, not me.
That had to be really hurtful for her.
Yes. Yes, that it was always conditional.
What does she need from you right now? It seems like she's crying.
It's just really good to know that it's got nothing to do with me and that I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with me. And she can feel, she can breathe easier.
What's going on for you when you see that she's feeling better?
I'm feeling lighter. I'm feeling, emotional a little bit, relief.
What's the emotion about? Like, what is the emotion about? Can you describe it to me?
I think I'm just, I think I'm just feeling, some sadness at how bad that felt. To be so made fun of by the person who I think is supposed to just always embrace you and tell you you're enough, and not put you down. I think I'm just feeling that sadness.
Is your grandfather still there?
No. Oh, with me in this moment?
Yes.
He, no, I forgot about him. It was just
Okay.
me.
That's okay. Well, let's
Yeah.
not worry about him.
Okay.
He probably left for a good reason. He probably thought
Okay.
that, well, he probably thought that you and little Jen were very safe talking
Yeah.
to each other.
Yeah.
What does little Jen want to tell you about your sadness? Does she have any wisdom for you?
Not hearing anything. Maybe a little bit like it's gonna be okay.
Why does little Jen think it's okay for you to be sad?
Well, I know sadness is important to feel. Maybe she's giving me the permission to feel sad. Like, it's just okay to feel sad about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. What does she want you to do with your sadness other than just feel it?
I'm hearing like feel it and then move on because it that happened. It's done. Can't change that, but we don't have to keep carrying it.
You don't have to keep carrying it.
Yeah.
Now, how does that, what do you want to tell her about those little wise words that an 11, 12-year-old said? You can feel sad, but you really don't have to carry it anymore.
Thank you. Like, I just want to say thanks. Thanks for telling me that.
You want to hug her?
Yeah. Yeah. And
Would
tell
you?
her that she's pretty awesome.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
She seems to be very wise.
Yeah.
She also seems to know what you need.
Yeah. Yeah. She's stronger and smarter than I don't always give her credit for.
She probably knows a lot more than sometimes you give her credit for.
Yeah, I often put her down for not doing better, knowing better, or any of that, but I think she knew enough.
She knew a lot.
Yeah.
She just had some funky stuff said to her. She made it through.
Yeah.
Are there any kind of promises or any kind of things you would like to say to her before we leave her about, specifically about your relationship with food? Because it seems like a lot of, as an adult, you're carrying around a lot around the food. Like maybe your perfectionism and you're not getting enough and that kind of stuff all started just from some simple comments at the dinner table.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell her I'm gonna keep working on this and heal this and maybe even heal it on in time to like pass it on to my son who's, a teenager himself. And maybe like end this like it stops with us,
It stops with us.
Yeah. But most importantly, that I'm going to heal it so that I don't have to feel this pain or anxiety or stress at these meals anymore. Like, I'm going to keep working on healing this.
What does healed look like?
I think healed looks like just noticing the thoughts, noticing. Being okay with it being hard sometimes, or noticing the thoughts my brain tosses up about can't or should, and keep being compassionate with myself at the meals instead of trying to avoid feeling at meals, that I can just be compassionate and notice it and, let it, like, say the things you talk about, like, okay, I hear you. I'm not going to listen to that. Or, oh, yeah, there it is again. I knew you'd show up again. I'm going to do something else now, like practicing compassion.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times when you're having these meals, I think it's little Jen coming back and saying, I'm worried we're not going to get enough. And we're going to be told we are eating weird. I'm worried that these things are going to happen. What do you want to reassure her?
There's always enough food. There's plenty. We're going to not be hard on ourselves when we eat past enough, which happens sometimes, and that's normal. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be perfect at each meal. It's okay.
What does little Jen
That's
think when you tell her you do not have to be perfect at a meal anymore?
She loves that. We both love that.
Okay.
That feels like a relief.
Maybe you want to let her know that she finally gets to relax at meal times now, that the hard part's over,
Okay.
that you've got this now.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. Yeah. She's very happy about that.
Now she can just eat that rice.
Yeah.
When you're ready, you can come back to us and maybe say goodbye to her and let her know you've got this. Like you are here for her now.
Yeah, she's like giving me the thumbs up as she's eating the
That's awesome.
Oh my God, I love that.
Oh, I teared up. It
Wow. Thank you.
So, one of the things I think just from that's always helpful when we go back like this is I think we can see a direct tie that she always felt like she was going to eat wrong. And now, as an adult, you think you're going to eat wrong. She was actually told she's eating wrong. And so, it's no wonder that now you over question because you're afraid you're going to do it wrong.
Right.
And it's
Yeah.
like, that's where I got that from. Like,
Yeah.
she was never wrong in how she was eating.
Right.
Your mom probably was well intended, but your mom was the one that was wrong. It wasn't Jen.
Yeah.
And we know that
Yeah.
now, you know. And I never like to blame our moms, like, assholes or whatever. It's like, God,
Right.
for generations, they just didn't even know. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
They were
Yeah.
doing their, most of them were doing their best. I'm not saying there aren't some rogue
Yes.
moms out there, but most moms, when
Right.
I coach people, their moms were like not trying to give their kids a complex.
Yeah.
They were always
Yeah.
worried about other things.
Right.
And then
Yes.
I think the other thing was just this idea of she didn't get enough. That's
Yeah.
why she's so worried today. So anytime you're trying to stop it enough, she's not reading that as a good thing you're doing for you. She's
Right.
thinking, oh my gosh, here we are again. We're going to be denied food. This is so unfair.
Right.
This is so not right.
Yeah.
And that's why I think the panic comes up. So that's why I think for you, just like reminding yourself, this is just the little version of me who's worried. I've got this. We're eating to enough, and this is plenty of food. And if it's not, we will eat more, but we don't have to panic to eat more anymore. We get to
Yeah.
decide when we want more now. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. This is so wonderful in so many ways, and I love that I've actually like reprogrammed my memory. Like my memory of shuffling the rice was this furtive child like terrified. And now when I look back, I think of it and she's like happily eating
Having a good time. He's
the
like, finally, I get the rice I want.
rice. Yeah, like freedom around it, just the freedom
Yes,
around it.
freedom. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself this afternoon. Sometimes doing this work, like I notice when I do it, one of two things always happens. I either have a little breakthrough and then I'm like, whoop, and I can just like I have like a burst of energy. And then sometimes I'm like, oh fuck, that wore me out. Like I need a nap. Like sometimes I have to go lay down. So whatever you need, meet those needs this afternoon. Okay.
I will. Thank you so much. This was really profound. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All righty. Thank you for doing
Thanks.
it. Not everybody will. All
Yeah. Thank you for everyone holding that space.
right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Y'all, I have got to go. Like normally I can go long, 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 but today I actually have I promised my husband we would do something this afternoon. I've got to quit ding dong ditching him for my Sunday calls. So he is already dressed and ready and waiting on the queen. So I better get going. But I just want to say, any of you, like if you ever want to just replay one of these, like going back into the childhood thing, just kind of listen to it. And really all you do is you just close your eyes, you create a safe space for yourself. You don't just do this at like on a whim. You just want to like sometimes like I get a blanket, even when my coach does it with me, I'll get a blanket and put it around me. And then I kind of just go back. And I always think like I just want to go back to a memory and I want to see what was going on for little Corinne. And I just want to talk to her. And I just want to let her know, like it's almost like treating her like a big sister. It's like the big sister you always wanted, or the parent you always wanted has now entered the room. What do you need? Like, tell me what's going on for you. Why are you afraid? And let me help you. And then we just kind of talk back and forth. That's really the magic of doing it. You can do it on paper. You can even just write one thing my coach has had me do before is I use my left hand to represent the left hand. Corinne is like no good. Like Corinne, you know, Corinne can't use her left hand. But if I use my left hand, this is little Corinne talking. So it makes you slow down enough because you're using your non-dominant hand, and it's like it looks childlike. But it's like a way for you to write down like the most important things that the childlike version of you wants to hear from you. Then you go back and you read it. Then you use your dominant hand and you write to the child and you tell them what they needed to hear, or you just talk to them about what's going on and like how you're going to help them and stuff. So it's pretty powerful work. So I do appreciate that Jen did it because it's also not easy. I mean, it's not easy to sit and talk to your child and do those things with other people watching. So it's what we call big balls. All right. Y'all have a good one. I will see y'all next Sunday. I'll see you on Wednesday, but I'll also see you next Sunday. And just keep rocking and rolling. Only good things coming here at NoBS. Bye, y'all.